1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read verse number 16, one verse today, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, and we'll read this out loud together. We'll pause at any punctuation, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read verse number 16 together. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, we'll pause at any punctuation, we'll read this together, and let's begin. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Let's pray.
Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the privilege of holding the pages of the only book you ever wrote in our hands. Lord, as we open it today and as we preach it today, would you allow the Holy Spirit to do what I cannot do? Would you meet the need of each and every person? Would you touch their heart and their life at the level they need touched? Would you say what I cannot say while I say what you've told me to say? Lord, as I speak for you, Jesus is speaking for me at your right hand. Thank you. Lord, may we work together in unity today so that you could have what you want from your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, there's a statement I want to lift out today and I want to help you with. Honestly, I think it's going to be one of those truths that'll, it's kind of like one of those time-release capsules. It's got different hardnesses on it, and as your body digests it, it releases it different times. That's kind of what this sermon will be today. You'll get the initial push, and then as you think on it, it's going to get you again. And as you think on it, it's going to get you again. And I want to help you today. 1 Timothy 3:16, the first part of the verse says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. I want to talk to you today about the mystery of godliness being solved. The mystery of godliness being solved. Humans have this idea that being godly is being spooky or weird. It's living a life that's not any fun. And just going around chanting religious words. God is in his holy temple. Amen. Amen. We think that's being holy, godly. No. We think of being holy as a life of exclusion and only communion with God, and we come visit people every once in a while, and nobody understands anything we know or say. My friend, that is not what godliness is all about. Jesus is God. Everybody understand that? You sound like Methodist this morning. I know you're tired, but let me try that again. Jesus is God. Amen. That's better. Now I know where I'm at. Jesus is God. He did not live in seclusion. He did not walk the streets of Israel in a brown robe with his hands folded, wiggling when he walked, saying, holy, 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 love, love, love. First of all, he didn't have long hair. 1 Corinthians 11 says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, and how could the Son of God be shameful if he was in the flesh? Second of all, he didn't walk around doing that. And by the way, he did not live a life of religiosity. Say, that's a big word, preacher. Yeah, that means just being religious, all right? He didn't look down on all the sinners. Matter of fact, it was the religious crowd that said, who does he think he is? He's even eating with sinners. Well, he had no choice because they were sinners too. Did you know that Jesus laughed? He ate. He worked. He played. He got angry. Do you know what Jesus did on Palm Sunday? On Palm Sunday, for all of you religious people, that observe Lent and all the other things and put all the different colored flags out, and we won't go there, but I'm not talking about all the, and some of them even put all the different colors on one flag. But on Palm Sunday, Jesus made a cat of nine tails, walked into the temple and kicked the tables over and chased the money changers out. 4 days later, they were crucifying him. I wonder why. Y'all think I preach tough. I haven't cracked the whip yet. Hang on. Now, wait a minute. He got angry, but he also took time with individuals. Amen. I'm going to say this as I only know how to say it. Who are we to say Jesus wasn't godly? He was God. Amen. How come we accept man's version of godliness instead of God's? We have to have the stained glass windows and the spooky organ music. And we think we're being godly. No, stained glass windows do not make you godly. When Peter preached Pentecost, he hopped on the back of a black F-150 and preached the snot out of him. He didn't have stained glass windows. Jesus did not walk the earth like some pope. Matter of fact, the current one can't walk either. But anyway, if you didn't catch that on the news, they got to have somebody pick him up and put him in the Pope mobile, amen? Maybe they'll come out with Pope on a rope, amen? Instead of, anyway, sorry, forgive me. Jesus was not caught up in his own spirituality, but he was godly. He was as godly as any human could be. Now, if you are asleep, slap yourself. Don't slap somebody else, but slap yourself. And you got to hear the next couple statements or you're going to be lost the rest of the sermon. Jesus did not come to earth to do good things. Jesus did not come to earth to do good things. He came to live, yielded to the Holy Spirit, in the same flesh you and I have, to live righteously while being tempted by sin. The result of living righteous was that he did good works. But he did not come to do good works. He came to live life like God intended. Amen. He came to live our righteousness while being in the same flesh you and I have, so that he could make it to Calvary and shed his blood and die and resurrect as our high priest and pay our sin debt. Amen. Yes, sir. But Jesus did not come to earth to just do good works. Now, the result was him doing good works because of living righteous. Listen to this. But he was not righteous by the good works. He was righteous by being yielded to the Holy Spirit. Amen. The good works did not make him godly. Godliness made him do good works. Just like you do not do good works to get saved. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's why some preachers, even Baptist preachers, preach this wrong. They say, well, you have to turn from all your sins or you really didn't get saved. That's works. The word repent means to turn. I agree. Can I tell you what the word repent means? The old timers have been here a while. That means this. Romans 10:1 says, "For they, being ignorant of God and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves into the righteousness of God." Verse number 3. We live lost trying to live our own righteousness, our own good works, our own good deeds, and hopefully the good outweighs the bad. Then somebody presents the gospel to us. And we realize no matter how much good we do, we're on our way to hell. Because there's a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. And that all we have to do is by faith receive what Jesus Christ did for us to get us to heaven. The moment we trust Christ as our Savior, we quit trusting our works and start trusting Him.
Amen.
The act of being saved is the act of repentance. You go from trusting your own righteousness to submitting to the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Repentance is salvation because of whom you yield to.
Amen.
Not by what you do.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? Now hang on, I'm about to preach. Just like you cannot get saved by doing good works, you cannot be godly by doing good works. You get saved by yielding to the gospel. You get godly by yielding to the Holy Spirit. The result will be good works. But they're not the ingredients. It's the cake at the end of all the ingredients. It's the biscuits after you have all the ingredients. You see, we have this thing backwards. God wants us to be godly. But we're not going to get it by good works. We get it by yielding and obeying the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. We don't get saved by our good works. How can we be godly with our good works? That's a result of man in our sin. We want to be our own God. Genesis chapter 3. In the day thou eatest, you could be like gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. You don't need God. You could be your own God. And what is our world filled with today other than humanism and man wanting to be God? Godliness is a result to whom or to what you yield, not to what you do. Godliness is a result of what you yield to, not what you do. Now, being godly is a good thing, but you don't get it by being good. You see, no more can good works save you than can good works make you godly. So, the question then becomes, how do we get godly? That's the mystery we'll solve today. Number one, God cannot be seen by sinful man. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Oh, I love John chapter 1, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I got about half of it memorized or more. John chapter 1, John chapter 3, two chapters in the Bible I think you ought to learn a whole lot about. But John chapter 1, look at verse number 1. In the beginning was the what? Okay, is that small W or capital? So that's in reference to a specific person, place, thing, or idea, correct? All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Or the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him without anything was made with it was made. Look at verse 14. And the Word, capital W, yes or no?
Yes.
Was made flesh. And dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know that that is Jesus Christ. We know that when He comes back, will be written on His vesture, His name, the Word of God.
Amen.
When people start changing versions, they're changing Jesus and they're wrong. Don't mess with the Bible, you're messing with Jesus and you're messing with God. But look at verse number 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Say why? Because sinful eyes cannot look on a sinless God.
Amen.
No man hath seen God at any time. We'll not take time to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 33, verses 23, you have the story of Moses, and he says, God, I've got to know before I do this next thing that you're going to be with me. Would you just show yourself? And he says, Moses, you can't look on me. I'm too holy. If you saw me, you would die. Ladies, that's what you thought about your husband too, right? Anyway, now, wait a minute. And God says, but I'll tell you what, Moses, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and when I get near, I'll put my hand over you, and when I pass by, you can see the glory as I pass by. Say, why did God do that? Because man cannot look at God. He is so holy that sinful eyes cannot look at a holy God. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse number 12. The Bible says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That's the Holy Spirit. And his love is perfected in us. I want you to notice, just in those three places alone, God says, no man hath seen God at any time. Now, everybody look at me. God is the source of all holiness. The word godly and the word holy are virtually the same word. Godliness means like God in his holiness. Now watch this. That means this. Let me help you with something here. Why is hell going to be pitch black? Because there is no presence of God there. Hell will be totally black for eternity as people fall and burn forever in the lake of fire. Can I tell you why? Because there will be no presence of God there. You look at this old nasty world and see how bad it is. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when there's no saved people here? No presence of God? You can't imagine how bad it would be. Then you add to it the judgment of their sin and the pain of the fire and imagine how nasty it would be. Why do you think for 3 hours as our Savior hung on Calvary's cross that the world turned black? Darkness. And Jesus, after 3 hours of suffering, and that was the end of 9 hours, but those last 3 hours, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit turned their back on Jesus. And the world became black, dark. And after 3 hours, Jesus said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We say Jesus suffered our hell on the cross. He did, because God the Father and God the Holy Spirit turned their back on the Son of God. And for 3 hours in all of history, God the Son did not have the presence of God in his life. He suffered our hell. But I want you to notice it was black. It was dark. So, God cannot be seen by sinful man. Number two, man was made in God's image. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. This is not unfamiliar. By the way, Brother Scott, that's page 1 for you. Genesis chapter 1. sorry. I was talking to Scott Garner. yeah. The other one got a smile on his face. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse number 26. Yeah. It's actually page 5 in mine. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. And God said, let us. Uh-oh, everybody stop right there. Let us. Who's God talking to? No, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and over cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's San Francisco. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Wow. He didn't create Adam and Steve either. It was Adam and Eve. Wasn't this alphabet soup crowd. They weren't confused on which was which. Go to Genesis chapter 9, verse number 6. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 6. Realize this is after the flood and the world is destroyed. Genesis chapter 9, look at verse number 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Guess that means we were made in God's image, right? Let me read 1 Corinthians 11. You need not turn there. I'll get there before you will. You say, how do you know? Trust me, I will. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 7, the Bible says this. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is in the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. It's not talking about not wearing a hat in church. Now, it's not appropriate to wear a hat in any building by standard, just so you know, but this isn't a hat chapter. It's talking about hair. God says that a man's not supposed to have his head covered. Some of you are really glad because you can't cover it with anything but a hat. But what it's talking about is that a woman's hair is her glory, if you read 1 Corinthians 11. And it's her covering. Well, there's only a few things you can cover on your head with hair. You can cover your neck. You can cover your ears. You can cover your eyes and your nose and your mouth, but you ain't going to see very well. So to have your head uncovered means to have your ears uncovered and your neck uncovered. Everybody got that? I could solve the world's problem on how to do these haircuts, and it doesn't involve a weed eater. I was at the barber shop this week, and I sat down. The guy says, so what you want? I said, I want a man's haircut. I said, clean it up, tapered, just enough to comb over on top and leave the back alone because there ain't enough there to comb. He said, it is getting a little thinner, but I said, shut up. I said, I haven't paid you yet. He said, oh, it's thick back here. It's thick. I said, keep talking. You're lying, but I enjoy it. Amen. Now, wait a minute. God says that he made us in his image. By the way, Jesus did not have long hair. He didn't wiggle when he walked either. Amen. See, how do you know? Because he attracted businessmen and professional fishermen, and ain't no real man attracted to some guy that wiggles when he walks. God made us in his image. God is body, soul, and spirit. God made man with a body, a soul, and a spirit. He said, let us make man in our own image. We read in John 1:14, and the word was made flesh, not man. Jesus has always been the man part of the Godhead. Right. He had to put on a body that could die to pay our sin debt. Now, God made us so that we could fellowship with him. Revelation 4:11 says that that all things were made by him, and for his pleasure they are and were created. God made us so that we could fellowship with him, but in our sin, we can't fellowship with him. And our sin causes our spirit to die. And Jesus said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus when he said, how could I inherit eternal life? He said, you must be born again. He said, wait a minute, you mean I got to get back in my mama's stomach and go through that whole... She ain't going to like that. And I know I ain't going to like that. Jesus said, no. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The body doesn't need reborn and the soul doesn't need reborn. Your soul is your mind, your intellect, your personality. But it is your spirit that needs reborn. And you get that through salvation. At the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit rebirths your spirit. It comes to life. Then according to Romans chapter 8, God then adopts our body and our soul so that we can have all three parts of us in heaven.
Amen.
Are we doing all right? Hang on. About to shout. Amen. God wants us to spend time with him. He made salvation available to us so that our spirit could be reborn, so that we could fellowship with him and look at him without sin, because to the saved person, all your sin is under the blood. Past, present, and future. Thank God. Number 3. Man's spirit died because of sin. But it can be reborn. The spirit is that which allows us to communicate with God. Our soul, my soul is communicating with you right now. It is my personality, it is my mind, it is my voice. My body and my soul are communicating. I've asked the Holy Spirit to use it to work with your spirit. But when we get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside. Not Jesus. He's at the right hand of the Father taking care of our sin. You better be glad he's there. You see, the spirit is what separates man from being an animal. An animal has a body and it has a soul. I've got a little 9-year-old beagle. She's a chick with an attitude. She doesn't want something, she just turns her head and looks away from you. She gives you that sideways look. If my wife calls her, she'll come to me and jump on my lap. If I call her, she'll go jump in my wife's lap. If we both call her, she runs away. Say, why? She's just a chick with an attitude. Now, wait a minute. My dog has a personality, but it doesn't have an ever-dying soul.
That's right.
Or a spirit. It can never get saved. All dogs don't go to heaven. They just cease to exist, just so you know. I hate to disappoint you. Your puppy dogs and kitty cats and birds and lizards and skunks and possums aren't going to heaven. God knows cats aren't going to make it for sure. They're going to populate the other place. Now, wait a minute. By the way, that proves that evolution is wrong, because you can't get a spirit from an animal. Evolution is a religion to teach man that he doesn't have a spirit. Sin caused this spirit to die and is in need of a rebirth. That's what salvation is. Number 4. Now, when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit moves into the body and to the soul of the believer and is there for our help. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at verse number 16. John chapter 14, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit, notice the capital S, of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth where? In you. And shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How will he come to us? By the Holy Spirit and the word of truth.
Yes, sir.
You see, God can't speak outside of the Word of God. God's not going to tell you to do something that He did not already tell us in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can't lead you outside the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit is God. He has to work within the confines of the Spirit of truth, which is the Word of God. When people come say, well, I just feel the Lord wants me to, and I'll say, book, chapter, and verse. If you can show it to me in the Bible, let's talk about it. Well, preacher, I just feel God wants me to leave this church because I just disagree with you. I said, book, chapter, and verse. I've given you hundreds of scriptures of why. Now you show me book, chapter, and verse why. Well, I just believe. I don't care what you believe. What did God say?
That's good.
Used to be a saying back in the 70s. Some of you old people. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. It's 2/3 right. God said it. That settles it. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it. That settles it. So, well, I don't care what you believe. God said it. I believe God more than you. I just happen to believe that a perfect, holy, godly God is more reliable than a sinner. I just happen to believe that the inerrant, perfect words of God that give us life, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I believe that the Word of God has more authority than any church, denomination, or preacher.
Amen.
So let's put it up or shut up. Where's it at in the scripture?
Amen.
It's that simple. Anybody doing okay? Turn to Romans chapter 8 for a second. I want to show you something. The Holy Spirit indwells or moves into us at salvation. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the what?
Spirit.
Small s or capital S? Huh, you are in the Holy Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That means they're lost. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, you do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
Wow. I didn't say it, God did. Well, I just believe Jesus came into my heart, preacher. That's not what God said. I'm not going to fight with you. But I will tell you, you won't find it in your Bible. I know there's a hymn out there. Since Jesus came into your heart, he never came into your heart. The Holy Spirit did. I'm not against you singing it, but it's not right scripturally. Everybody doing okay? I'm not going to fight people over schematics, but technically Jesus didn't. So the Holy Spirit comes in when we get saved. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Number 5, and this is the last point. Hang on. Being godly then comes when we yield our spirit to the Holy Spirit. Brother Anthony, come on up here for a second. We walk to get... Stand on the right side. Stand beside me. I did that on purpose. Without instruction, he doesn't know what to do. Doesn't know what to yield to. Everybody doing okay? But when he decides he'll yield to me and say, walk with me, he walks with me. But when he decides to do his own thing and I say, walk with me, he acts like a junior hire. Have a seat. Y'all think I'm kidding. I'm not. They go to bed one night and the ring falls out and they can't find it for a few years. Hey, buddy. Wait a minute. Being godly comes when we yield our spirit to the Holy Spirit. We become godly when we yield our spirit to the Spirit of truth. You cannot be godly and yielded to the Holy Spirit when you're screaming and hollering at everybody all the time. Hang on, I'm going to go from preaching to meddling real quick. You cannot be godly and be distressed all the time. Oh, I'm just so stressed. Preacher. Can I tell you something? That's being led by the flesh, not the spirit. You cannot be godly and be depressed all the time. You cannot be godly, be filled with bitterness and vengeance. Take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Galatians chapter 5. Can I tell you how you act when you are yielded to the Spirit? Let me show you what God says. Not what the preacher says, what God says. Let's go back to verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the what? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are the contrary the one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the what?
Flesh
are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All these things are a list of things that we do based on our flesh. And he said the spirit and the flesh cannot work together at the same time. Is that not true? So while we're playing video games filled with witchcraft or watching Hollyweird filled with witchcraft, we're not filled with the Spirit. So what do we do? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. How do you know you're filled with the Spirit? Because when the anger comes, you say, I have meekness. When strife comes, you say, I have long suffering. When all the attacks of hell come, you say, no, I have love and joy and peace. What's peace? Peace is not tranquility. Peace is victory. Peace means you beat the stuffings out of wrong by doing right. You see, too many of us think we're spiritual because we come to church. Well, if you sit in your garage, it doesn't make you a car. Just because the building you go to and what you listen to does not make you, by your good works, godly. It is what you yield to that determines how godly you are. My wife and I have been married 34, almost 35 years. June 24th will be 35 years. Seems like 70 to her. Now, wait a minute. In 34 and a half plus years, we've never raised our voices at each other. We disagree every day. I believe in getting up 4:30. She doesn't believe in that, so I don't wake Grumpy up. Amen? That way Grumpy's happier the rest of the day. Now, wait a minute. Just because we disagree that that's a good time of day to get up doesn't mean that we're supposed to fuss about it.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Did you know you can disagree about something and not lose your temper? Say, how do you do it? Become godly. About the time I get frustrated, Brother Jim,
yeah.
I decide if I'm about to lose it, it means I'm in my flesh and I'm wrong. And I stop things and say, give me a few minutes. And I go to God and say, okay, what am I missing here? Because obviously I'm in my flesh right now, not my spirit. And I need to get into the spirit to do this right. And we get back and we talk about it and no argument. Did we agree? Sometimes not. But it didn't mean we fought and fussed over it. Everybody doing okay? I wonder how many times we act in our flesh and not the spirit, and yet we think we're godly. Well, I went soul winning. Well, good for you. Well, I went to church. I'm glad. I'll give you a sticker. I even came to Sunday night or Wednesday night church. I'll give you two more stickers. But that doesn't make you godly. Godliness comes by yielding to the Holy Spirit and doing what he says. Oh, by the way, one of the things he's going to tell you to do in Hebrews chapter 10, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You're not supposed to miss church.
Amen.
I can show you in scripture. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
So, listen to me very carefully. You don't become godly by doing good. You yield to the Holy Spirit and obey the Bible and spend time with God. The result will be your doing of more good. But that comes afterwards, not to get it. Just like after you're saved, good works come, but you don't do the good works to get saved. It is the yielding to the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth that allows the Holy Spirit, godliness, to live through you. When we yield to the Holy Spirit and we feel like we need more love, we don't pop off at somebody because we didn't get what we wanted from them. When you're wanting love, you want attention, you don't want love. Love is satisfied in giving, not getting. When the Spirit's in control, you're not concerned about what you're getting, you're concerned about what you're giving. Everybody doing okay? I got to crash land. All that to say this. Just as we yield and trust Christ for salvation, not works, we should yield and trust the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to be godly. What is the mystery of godliness? How you get it. It's not by what you do, it's by what you yield to. And your obedience to it. Then the good will come.
Amen.
You don't get it by doing good. You get it by yielding to truth. As you yield to the truth, good will be done and godliness will take over. You don't get godly by doing things. You get godly by receiving and yielding. Before you pop off that next time, how about you say, Holy Spirit, would you help me? Before you smoke the next cigarette, bow your head and say, Holy Spirit, bless this to the good of my body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And may it glorify you. It'll be kind of hard to suck on that thing. Before you drink a bunch of alcohol, say, Holy Spirit, before I do this, I just wanted to honor and glorify you with it. Say, preacher, that sounds sacrilegious. Yeah, try it once. It'll keep you from doing it. No, I don't think I could quit smoking. You can't, but God can help you. So can a preacher. See, it's not a matter of you. It's a matter of godliness. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher? Just you and me for a moment. Preacher, if I die today, I'm 100% sure. I know without a doubt that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Many, many, many hands. Thank you. You may put them down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure. I've never trusted Christ and that alone to take me to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I personally needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores of hands. You may put them down.